you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 16 this morning. The American flag represents a lot of things to its people. Things like freedom and democracy and liberty, justice. It represents home. And seeing our flag fly gives a feeling of patriotism in many of us. We stand at attention when we see the flag raised at events like school activities and sporting events. And for many in our military who have lost families who have served in our armed forces, the flag reminds us of courage and sacrifice. For Americans who travel abroad needing assistance, the American flag also represents protection in a foreign land. When an American citizen is traveling abroad and steps onto the ground of a United States embassy, the stars and stripes remind them they are now under the protection of the United States of America. Last summer, I went to Guatemala. It was my second trip to Guatemala on a mission trip. And as we were driving through the capital, Guatemala City, we passed by the American embassy with our flag flying inside of its gates. It was a reminder to me and our team, as we were in a foreign country, in a foreign land, that all we had to do is go to the embassy, and we were given all the rights and privileges of being an American citizen, just as if we were standing on U.S. soil. This morning, as we continue to look at the names of God and how each name shows God's character and attributes, we have already looked at a couple of those. A couple weeks ago, we saw how God is our provider. Last Sunday, we saw the character of God as our healer. And this morning, I want to see how God is our banner. The Hebrew word for God as our banner is Jehovah Nissi. As we read that name, as we see that name given to God in this passage we're about to read. So if you found Exodus chapter 17, if you are able, will you please stand for the reading of God's word? Starting in verse 8, at Rephidim, Amalek came and fought against Israel. Moses said to Joshua, "Select some men for us and go fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the hilltop with God's staff in my hand." Joshua did as Moses had told him and fought against Amalek, and while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. While Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. But whenever he put his hand down, Amalek prevailed. When Moses' hand grew heavy, they took a stone and put under him, and he sat down on it. Then Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so his hands remained steady until the sun went down. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his army with the sword. Verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write down on a scroll as a reminder and recite it to Joshua, I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek under heaven." And Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Indeed, my hand is lifted up towards the Lord's throne. The Lord will be at war with Amalek from generation to generation." To generation. Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Lord, we come to you. And we once again, we ask for your will to be done. Speak to us, Lord, as we understand the protections we have in this life and into eternity as you as our banner, Lord. Speak to us as we look at this Old Testament passage. We love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. If you don't mind, I would like to share a little U.S. history with you, if that's okay, before we get to our text. The year was 1814, and America was at war with Great Britain once again. In August of that year, the British occupied and burnt Washington, D.C., forcing the president and other members of the government to flee the city. On the night of September 13th of 1814, the British Navy began bombing Fort McHenry outside Baltimore, Maryland. If they captured the fort, the war would be over. If they entered Baltimore, this new concept of the United States of America would be done. A young lawyer named Francis Scott Key was aboard one of the British ships that night. He got aboard to negotiate the release of some American prisoners, and he was detained on the ship when the bombing began. He listened to the cannons fire all night long, and early the next morning, the bombing had stopped. Francis Scott Key went to the deck of that ship to see what had happened, and to his delight, the American flag was still flying over Fort McHenry. The bombing had failed, and Baltimore was still standing. Francis Scott Key was so inspired by the sight that he wrote a poem called The Star-Spangled Banner. It was later set to music, and in 1931 is adopted as our country's national anthem. To Francis Scott Key, the sight of the American flag that morning was a sign of victory. Now, in biblical times, armies often carried banners, flags, whatever they were. Most of the time, these banners were just long poles. But as long as soldiers could see the banner, they knew their armies were still intact, that they were to continue to fight on for their cause. When the Israelites fought in their first battle as a nation of against the Amalekites, they discovered a new kind of banner. The banner would be, what would this banner be for them? Their banner was going to be God Himself. As long as God was with them, they were guaranteed victory over their enemies. Can I tell you something? In this life, we face, this life is going to throw us some curves, okay? This life is going to throw us some hard times. And in those times, we can feel like we're all alone. Sometimes we can feel like we're exposed. We can even experience this feeling of loneliness when we're surrounded by others. In those moments, we feel exposed and under attack. Can I tell you, you're not alone. You're never alone. If you're one of God's people, saved by the grace of God, you are never alone. Why is that? Because we stand under another flag, a banner of protection of God Himself. He stands tall over every issue we face. God covers us with His protection. We serve under the banner of God. What is it about standing under the banner of God that we can take courage in, we take confidence in? I think there's three things this morning that we can see in this passage. We can take confidence and courage in standing under the banner of God. The first one is this. We live under the banner of God's authority. We live under the banner of God's authority. Let's go back to our passage, verse 9 through 10. Moses said to Joshua, "Select some men for us and go fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the hilltop with God's staff in my hand." And Joshua did as Moses had told him and fought against Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. The Israelites were camped out at Rephidim. And as you can read at the beginning of this chapter, it all starts with the people having no water to drink. We talked a little bit about it last week, when the 3 days after they crossed over the Red Sea, they were groping and complaining, God provided water. Well, they come to another point where there was no water, and of course the children of Israel did what they naturally did. They groped and complained. Okay? It's sad to me that we see that we can see in the past how God has provided for us, but yet we have a tendency to forget, and therefore we do what is natural to us. We complain to God about our current situation, all along knowing and deep down in our hearts that God is going to provide for us. We looked at that last week. Even though we know deep down God is our provider, and the fact that He has provided for us in the past means also, since He never changes, He will provide into our future and into our present situation and into our future. And although they were testing God, you can see in the opening verses of chapter 17, the Lord provided water by instructing Moses to strike the rock with His staff. And once again, God came through and provided for their need. Now, the Israelites were about to face a new and perhaps a greater challenge to their faith. Thirst was going to be the least of their concern because the Amalekites were confronting them. The Israelites and the Amalekites had been enemies for generations. You can go back all the way to Genesis chapter 36 that the Amalekites were the descendants of Amalek, a grandson of Esau. Even though they were direct descendants of Isaac, they became bitter enemies with Israel, and a constant threat to the spiritual and national life of the nation of Israel. 40 years after the events of Exodus chapter 17, Moses still describes these people in Deuteronomy chapter 25 as people who did not fear God. It was obvious how the Amalekites viewed God because they attacked His people all the way after, along the way after they left Egypt. clearly. However, God was with the nation of Israel. God was with his people. God had performed miracle after miracle. His work of delivering the people from slavery. God's hand was on the nation of Israel. But the Amalekites didn't care. They still attacked. Can I tell you something? What is true then is true today. The forces of this world will always oppose and attack God and his people. And that makes it challenging, but by no means impossible for us to live in the promises of God. I hope you know our walk with the Lord will always be challenged. Let me say that again. I don't think you agree. Our walk with the Lord is always going to be challenged. The natural state of this world is always to challenge the things of God. This world will challenge our value. This world will always challenge our faith in God. This world will challenge our commitments to the Lord. This world will challenge the truth of God's word and our obedience to it. And I think we can see that today that more clearly than we've ever seen in world history. The world opposes all things God. And that's going to include his people. But we can take courage, church, that we live under the banner of God's authority. And that includes his protection. There is nothing that this world can throw at us that God cannot get you through. We can take comfort under the banner of God, that he is always faithful to fight our battles. You are not defenseless when you are attacked by the enemy. God did not allow the Israelites to go into battle defenseless. He provided and made accommodations for their security in the battle. Moses' staff was the symbol of God's authority and power for them. The staff was the symbol of the banner and protection of God's presence in the battle and in their lives. Moses took it to the top of the hill, all to see. He wanted Israel and the enemy to know that they fought under the banner and protection of God himself. God's power would prevail as long as the banner of the Lord was lifted high. Church, can I tell you something? I hope you know this. God has provided for our defense as well. Amen. When the enemy attacks us. He has not left us defenseless. Amen. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, he gives us all kinds of tools to help us defend against the Satan. In Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 17, for this reason, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist the evil day, and having prepared everything to take your stand, stand therefore with the truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praise the Lord, God has not left us defenseless. Now I hope you know that every one of those weapons are a defensive weapon to help us fend off Satan's attack. But there is one weapon in this impressive list of defenses that is both a defensive and offensive weapon. That is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. The Israelites had the staff of God, which represented God's nature and promise and protection to provide. And we've been given the inerrant word of God to both use in our defense and offense when we are attacked by Satan and the enemy. Amen. You cannot live a life of godliness and go unchallenged in an ungodly world. But you do have a weapon to fight back. When this world challenges your faith, you can swing back with the sword of the Spirit. When sickness challenges your trust in the goodness of God, you have the Word of God to be your offense as you continue to press forward. When the trials and tribulations challenge your patience in God's will, you have the Bible to give you strength and courage. When you are tempted to sin, you can pierce that sin to its heart through the Scriptures. Listen to me, church. Listen clearly. When you live under the banner of God's word and you lift up the word of God high, then God has promised you, you will endure victory. You will have victory. Amen. This world is going to challenge you. It's not might, it's not if, but you will be attacked. Amen. The question is, are you living under the banner to protect you? Here's the second thing I think we see in this passage. We serve under the banner of God's presence. We serve under the banner of God's presence. Look at verse 11 with me. While Moses held his hand, Israel prevailed, but whenever he put his hand down, Amalek prevailed. When Moses' hand grew weary, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat down on it. Then Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so his hands remained steady until the sun went down. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his army with the sword. The battle to defeat the Amalekites may have sounded a bit unusual, but it most certainly was effective. Moses commissioned Joshua to select men to join him in battle. And while Joshua was leading the troops, Moses, Aaron, and Hur would stand on top of the hill nearby with Moses having the staff of God in his hand held high. Now, nothing indicates in this passage that there were any kind of fear or confusion among anyone. Keep in mind that these people were not equipped for battle. They knew two things. They knew captivity in their past, and they knew wandering in their presence. And God had promised their future. That's all they knew. But God had their battle all planned out for them. As long as Moses held up the staff, Israel would prevail. But when his armies grew tired, or his arms grew tired, he let them down, the Amalekites would have the upper hand. Ultimately, Aaron and Hur supported Moses' hands, so his hands remained steady until the sun went down. As a result, Joshua defeated Amalek. But what made the difference? What was the difference? What was the difference maker? It was not simply Moses' visible presence of a dramatic posture on a hilltop with his hands in the air to inspire confidence in his troops. That's not what made the difference. The difference maker was this. It was that he was holding up God's staff. Amen. And through this staff, though this staff was probably just a shepherd's staff, God used it as an object lesson to show all of Israel, all his people, his power to accomplish his purpose and his work. The staff became a visible sign that God was with Moses. This simple staff was the staff of God that Moses used to bring various plagues into Egypt. He used the staff to part the Red Sea, strike a rock, provide water for thirsty people. This staff was just an ordinary piece of wood that any shepherd would carry. There isn't any magical power about the staff. There was nothing extraordinary about the staff, but it did represent something great. It was a sign of God's presence and power to accomplish God's promises to his people. Israel prevailed in battle when Moses' hand lifted up the presence of God for all to see. I hope you know something this morning, church. I hope you know this, that we also will prevail in our spiritual battles. We live under the presence and power of God in our lives. That's what it means to live in the kingdom of God. We live under the presence and the authority of King Jesus. Amen. One of the main points we can apply to our lives from this text is this. We serve under the banner of God, but we all have responsibilities in that. Think about it. Joshua led the fighting. Moses prayed and held the Lord's staff and gave God's orders. Aaron and Hur had to support Moses. They helped him in his weaknesses as his arms grew weary and tired, and kept them raised so Israel could have the victory. They all had different jobs to do, but they had one heart to do it and one banner to serve under. By working together, God was able to show himself strong through his people, and they saw victory. It took their unity for God's power to be demonstrated. Can I tell you something, folks? We too serve united under the banner of God. Each of us might have a different responsibility, but when we put those areas together under the banner of God, God's will is accomplished. It is much like Paul told the church at Corinth when they were squabbling about who they heard the gospel under. There were some that said they followed Paul. Some said, no, we don't follow Paul. We follow Apollos.
And Paul corrected their thinking when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 5 through 9. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants through who you believe and which has a role in that the given role the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then neither one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. Did you catch a word there? He says we are co-workers. That means we work together to do the part that God has called you to do. So I can do the part that God has called me to do. So we can do the part that Canton Baptist Church has been commissioned to do, or any other church in this area. We work together under the banner of God. Now listen to me. This is important. The effective nature of carrying a banner, I thought about this morning. I like this, all right? So listen tight, all right? The effective nature of carrying a banner is determined by having more than one person marching to it. By working together, we show just how powerful God is. It takes unity from God's people to demonstrate His power. Amen. When God's people are unified under the banner of God, they will always see victory. You can see it time and time again as you look through the pages of Scripture. And Acts, we see at Pentecost that the Lord's disciples were in one accord and the victory came. The Holy Spirit fell. In Acts chapter 2, 44, we see how the church was together and they held all things in common and God added to their number those who were being saved. God gave the victory. God has never disappointed anyone who sincerely wants to cooperate in His purpose and His plan under His word. God works through us all and we stand united together with faithful heart to accomplish His will and His purpose for His kingdom. Well, there is one final thing this morning I think we can see in this passage. We are secure under the banner of God's activity. Look at verses 14 through 16 with me. The Lord said to Moses, write this down on a scroll as a reminder and recite it to Joshua. I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek under heaven. And Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. He said, indeed, my hand is lifted up towards the Lord's throne. The Lord will be at war with Amalek from generation to generation. After the victory, God's first command was for Moses to write down and recite to Joshua his declaration, I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek under heaven. And from that day forward, the Israelites would have no other encounters with the Amalekites. In response to God's work, Moses built an altar. He called it, the Lord is my banner. God shown Israel, once again, another aspect of His character. Israel had already discovered that God was their healer. He'd already showed them He was their provider. And now they understood fully that God was their banner of protection. The Hebrew word for that, the Hebrew meaning for that is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner, our memory. Our memory can serve as a fact that God is our banner. His past activities should be so impressed in our minds that we should never forget how God has protected us in the past and how He will deliver you in the present and into the future, church. Amen. Keep this in mind. Moses not only wrote this down, what God had done, but God told him to tell Joshua too. You know, I can't help to think this is a great example of how we are not only to keep what God has done for us and can do for us in our minds and our hearts, but also have a testimony of God's goodness to be shared with others. Our testimony of God's goodness is like waving a banner, like waving a flag for everyone to see of the power and greatness of our God. I read a cute story about a conversation that a young girl and her mother had on the way home from church. The little girl turned to her mother and said, "Mommy, the preacher's sermon this morning confused me." The mother said, "Oh, what is that? Or why is that?" And the little girl replied, "Well, he said that God is bigger than we are. Is that true?" And the mother replied, "Oh, yes, dear, that's true. And he also said that God lives in us. Is that true, Mommy?" And again, the mother replied, "Yes, it is." "Well," said the little girl, "if God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through?" Wow, how true is that? If you live for the Lord, if you believe the word of God and the promises of God, I promise you, God can do nothing but show through you. Living under the banner of God means we display that banner for all to see, and we do everything through the power of God to bring others under this banner. Can I share with you one more way we fly the banner of God in our lives? I think this is important. I think we can see this in this passage. It's through our worship. We see that Moses built an altar. That's the Old Testament equivalent to our praise and worship. But instead of us sacrificing a lamb to God, who is our protector, God has already sacrificed his lamb, his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we're called to offer up our sacrifice of our lives through our praise and worship to him, to our service to him, as we live our lives for the Lord. As we assemble together as a church, God's people, we worship and celebrate the banner of God in our lives. Matter of fact, Jesus tells us in John chapter 12, 32, "As for me, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." The Lord Jesus Christ is our banner, who provided forgiveness of our sin and gives eternal life. He covers us with his protection and his victory. Well, as we get ready to prepare for a time of decision this morning, how will the truth that Jesus is our banner make a difference in your life? Well, let me give you a few things to consider. One, have you received and accepted Jesus as your banner of forgiveness? Have you given your life to Christ? Has he saved you from your sins through his shed blood on that cross at Calvary? If not, I know no better time than the present to commit your life right now and trust him for your salvation by understanding and admitting that you are a sinner, by believing that Jesus actually died on that cross for your sin and he arose from the grave and he sits at the right hand of God right now, ready to make intercession for you. Commit and confess your sins to God. Commit to the Lord. Commit your life to the Lord. Serve him. You can't live under the banner of God without being a child of God. And second, if you are a child of God and are currently living under the banner of God, pray that others to experience the presence and protection of God in their lives. Ask the Lord to give you greater opportunities by being a witness and a testimony of his greatness. Carry the banner of God both in your words and your actions throughout your days. And third, let us be bold when we face difficulties. Trust God to give you the battle plan and be obedient to his word. Step out in faith and trust the Lord. Be confident in knowing that God goes before you and with you, and rest in his perfect presence and protection. I can't help to tell you, I love seeing the American flag flying high for others to see. Okay, I do. I get goosebumps when our national anthem is played for all to hear. I get a sense of gratefulness to know that I live in this great country. But can I tell you something? There is a greater and grander kingdom that we live in. And that is the kingdom of God. That's where our first allegiance belongs to. And we know as Christians there is something even better when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We can live in victory as we stand under the banner of God, our Jehovah Nissi. We pray with me this morning. Dear Lord, we come to you. Lord, I don't know what needs to be done in somebody's life this morning, but I do know fully, without a shadow of doubt, that you do. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that your presence has been with us because you have promised us that. So therefore, I know that you've been working in somebody's life or some people's life. I don't know what it is, but I know you are because that's what you do. Whether that's encouraging, whether that's convicting, whether that's comforting, whatever that is, Lord, I pray, whatever you're doing in our lives, we make that public. Because we know what you do in the private of our lives, you expect us to make that public. So, Lord, if somebody here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, maybe this is the first time that they've understood the gospel. They understand they're sinners. At this present moment, your Holy Spirit is convicting them to the point that they believe that you actually died for their sins. You rose again. They're praying, committing their lives to you right now. Lord, I pray that they make that public because that little conversation they had with you in the private moments of their heart, you expect them to make that public. It's a testimony of your greatness and your power. I pray they come before this church and tell folks, I am saved. I want to be baptized. I want to follow my Lord in baptism. I want to make what God has done in my life public. Maybe this morning there's someone, they're living under your banner, but man, they're straying away from it. Maybe they rededicate their life this morning, Lord. Maybe they turn away from a sin. Maybe they turn away from a situation that's got them down, knowing that when we live under your banner, when we live under you, Lord, that you promise us, protect us, and provide. Maybe somebody needs to join this church. Maybe somebody needs to come to this altar, Lord, and just do some business with you. I don't know what needs to be done, but as I said, I know you do, Lord. So I pray we are nothing but obedient this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You stand to respond.